Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul here in this text in Galatians speaks about the works of the flesh and also the fruit of the Spirit. And what I want you to understand about these two categories is it's speaking about two different people. It's not to say that the believer doesn't struggle with sin. That's when the struggle begins, is when one is born of the Spirit of God. But when he talks about one who is in the flesh and one who is in the Spirit, he's talking about two different types of people. Though the Christian has struggles in this life, he is not in the flesh. Now, the congregation is always a mixed bag. There'll always be wheat and weeds that grow together, sheep and goats mixed together. Jesus said so much. And so they are to grow together, they are to dwell together, and it's Christ who separates them, because those that are members of the congregation are those that profess to be believers. Now, we can't see into the heart. There have been those who have professed to be believers. They've stood right up here before God, before you as a congregation, and have professed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and take their refuge in Him and have walked away. They have apostatized. They have denied what they once confessed to be truth. They weren't unborn again. They didn't lose their salvation. They never were saved. They were deceived. They were self-deceived. And in time and truth, going hand in hand, it was revealed that they were not of Christ. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they would have been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. So when the Apostle Paul speaks to this issue in Romans chapter 8, he tells the Christian, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So he's talking about a position of where we dwell. He's using a dative of sphere, a location in the Greek text, which means this is where you dwell, this is where you are united, this is where you abide. If you are in Christ Jesus, Christ dwells in you, you dwell in Him. You are united to Him. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So recognize, being in the Spirit, you are no longer in the flesh, although you will have to struggle with difficulties in your life. The past remembrance of a fallen nature, of a sinful nature, in disposition, in desires. Now, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But you've had to struggle with a sinful nature most of your life until you were born of the Spirit of God. Now you have old habits, dispositions, desires, things that just don't disappear. We struggle against them. We fight against them all the days of our life by the Spirit and the Word. And it's a fight. The unbeliever has no fight. He has a corrupt nature, and he loves his sin and wickedness. The believer desires to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But in order for this to happen, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born of the Holy Spirit. If you're not born of the Spirit, you are not in Christ, and Christ is not in you. You are in the flesh. You are under the condemnation and the wrath of God if you are not in Jesus Christ. If you are in the flesh, it's evident, isn't it? This is what the Apostle Paul says here. It's evident by the way they live their lives. The hatred, the envy, the adultery, the idolatry, the murders, all the things that go on in the heart, the physical life, the spiritual life, the words of the mouth, the thought life, the patterns that you see continually, that's of the flesh. And here is the operative word, practice. He said, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not talking about somebody who might lapse into a sin and then repent. This is talking about a lifestyle pattern, an individual who lives a particular way of the flesh, the mind of the flesh. Paul in Romans 8 says that the mind of the flesh is stayed on the things of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all the other things that you see here as the works of the flesh. Not so with the one who is in Christ. He has a desire, a disposition, a longing to please his Lord, and though he struggles with sin, and he fights against it all his days, yet he has a love for Christ and a desire to please him and grow in grace and conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And so the battle is on in this life. If you don't have a battle, if you're not struggling against sin in your life, worst case scenario, you're not a Christian. You're not born of the Spirit of God. Best case scenario, you're immature. And you need to grow. And you need to exercise the means of grace in your life. So, realize that this is what Paul, from the context, this is what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the Judaizer heresies. He's dealing with legalism. He's dealing with antinomianism. Those that say you've got to do certain things and then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And those that say, we don't have to obey the law. Look, we've been saved by grace. We're good to go. It doesn't matter how you live. We've got errors on both ends that Paul is constantly dealing with through his epistles. The Judaizing heresy here of those that were legalists. And Paul is saying that a walk of faith, a walk in the Spirit, is an evident walk. It's a manifest walk. It's a directional walk. It's not a perfect walk, but it's clear. You know what kind of trees are growing in the garden by the fruit that it bears. And Jesus said that every tree bears a particular fruit, and by their fruits you will know them. You know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And if your fruit right here is in verses 19 through 21, you are in the flesh under the condemnation of God. If yours and your practice and your fruit is seen in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, you can be assured by the ministry of the Spirit and the Word that you're in Christ. It's not a perfection, beloved, but it certainly is the direction of the life of the believer. So, the Apostle Paul, notice our text, he begins with these words, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Now, one of the things that I have been convicted about in the life of the church as a whole, and I'm not just speaking about Hope Reformed Church, but it's applicable to us as this congregation today as this word is coming to us. We are called to be involved in one another's lives. I don't know if you know that or not. You certainly do now. And this involvement in the life is not something from afar. I defy you to show me that in Scripture. We are to be those that are intimately involved in one another's lives. This is the only way that we can practice what the Apostle Paul calls us to in loving one another and bearing one another's burdens. So, I thought about a series that I want to do here, probably excluding next Lord's Day because we have the Lord's Supper, but four or five sermons that deal with just that theme of what the apostle brings out of the one another's of Scripture. And the one another's of Scripture are reciprocal. So they feed off one another. You are to love this one, and this one is to love that one, and that one is to love this one, as you love this one over here, and it's to go back and forth together as a walk of faith with the people of God. Now, I pulled these out. I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm going to read a number of them. Listen to what the Apostle Paul speaks of with regards to the one another's of Scripture. And you know, it's interesting because you can read it and you can read through the Scriptures and it doesn't stick out in your mind until you systematize it and bring it all together and you see it one after another. Then you begin to feel the weight and the impact of what the Scripture is imposing upon us as the people of God. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Verse 16 of Romans 12. Be of the same mind toward one another. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Romans 15:7, therefore receive one another. Romans 15:14, my brethren, I also am convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and are able to admonish one another. There's to be no schism among the body, but we are to have the same care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25. We've seen it here in Galatians 5:13. We are called to liberty, and through that liberty, we are not to use as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Don't become conceited, provoking one another, but in envying one another. We are not to do this towards one another, the negative form of it. We are to bear one another's burdens. With all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:2, Ephesians 4:32. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, 5:19. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, 5:21. Don't lie to one another, Colossians 3:9. Bearing with one another, Colossians 3:13. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Colossians 3:16, 1 Thessalonians 4, comforting one another, edifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Got the point? You want me to read it again? The one another is a scripture. I mean, they're stark, aren't they? All of a sudden, right in your face. One another. The worship of the people of God is always a face-to-face worship. We always come together face-to-face to worship the Lord. We serve face-to-face. We love face-to-face. We edify face-to-face. We admonish face-to-face. We serve face-to-face. It's a together walk. We're a body. The body is joined and knit together by what every joint and sinew supplies, and it causes growth and health and strength of the body by what every part brings forward. The body in unity, the body in walk, the body in love, the body in service, the body bearing one another's burdens. So Paul says here in verse 25 that we are to live in the Spirit if indeed it's the case that you live in the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. To live in the Spirit means you are united to Christ by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of our God. He dwells in you. Therefore, He is the one who animates. He is the one who gives understanding. He illuminates. He gives discernment of the mind. He brings conviction. He illumines Christ to you through the Word. He is the one who warms the heart, illumines the mind, strengthens the soul, comforts in affliction. It's the Spirit of God who does this work. If we live in the Spirit, it's going to be active, beloved, because the Holy Spirit is going to cultivate the plants that He has planted. Every plant that my Father has not planted will be uprooted. But those that are planted in God's field, the Holy Spirit plants in good soil. He cultivates. He causes to grow. And then they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But they bear fruit, and they do it for the glory of God. They live in the Spirit, and therefore are called to walk by the Spirit. Now, the walking here, the Greek term is a military term. And it means they walk in cadence. They walk in step. A good translation was, they keep in step with the Spirit. They keep on keeping in step with the Spirit. It's a present tense. They keep on doing this. So what are they doing? They're obeying the Word. They're hearing the Word of God in their soul, and they are walking in cadence to the Word. This is what God has said. This is what we'll do. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We'll live for the Lord. We'll honor the Lord. We ought to obey God rather than men. We are those that repent. We are those that confess. We are those that love. We are those that give. Why? This is what the Lord has called. Keeping in step with the Spirit of God. This can't happen apart from the Word. How crucial and critical is it now to be a people of the book? And you wonder why. I'm constantly saying and harping on that. Read your Bibles. Be in the Word. Cultivate the Word. Meditate upon the Word. We can't keep in step with the Spirit if we're not in the Word. And if you're not keeping in step with the Spirit through the Word, you're a hindrance in the body. You're a clog in the wheel. You're causing disruption in the life of the body because you are remaining immature and causing difficulties in the life of the congregation. Grow up. Keep in step with the Spirit. Obey the Lord. Get in rank, beloved. That's the point. You're walking in formation. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You're in formation. And it's interesting because when you're walking and keeping in step with the Spirit, you're not concerned about where you're going. You're not concerned about how or when you're going to get there. You're concerned with keeping in cadence with the Spirit of God who gives us the marching orders in the Word. God will supply. God is the one who's directing. He's the captain of the army. He will direct us as His people. He will get us where we need to go. Be concerned with the cadence and staying in formation. Because if you don't, it's going to cause problems in the body. That's why he says there in verse 26, don't become conceited. Looking down on others. And what he says here is not provoking one another or envying one another. It's two types of people in a congregation. Those that think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. They think they're more spiritually mature than they are, and they look right down the nose at one who stumbles and falls. And they provoke them. Provoking means they're combative. They're combative with their language. They're combative with their attitude. They're combative with their actions towards other members of the body of Christ. We are not to do that. We are not to be combative individuals in the life of the body. It does not produce growth. It does not produce harmony. It produces disorder, disharmony, and anxiety in the life of the church. So stop provoking one another. Get in cadence. Stay in formation. When a soldier in the ancient world would fall, the rest of the soldiers would circle around and gird him up. They would gird him up, whether it was injury, whether it was fatigue or exhaustion, maybe it was discouragement in the life of the soldier. But the point is, he would be borne up by the other soldiers. They would leave none left. None would be left alone. Here's a movie quote for you. An old movie, Backdraft. You've seen it. Some of you. Maybe. One fireman is dangling from the arm of another. And their motto was this: you go, I go. The one is holding on saying, let go of me, let go of me. You go, I go. I'm not going to let you go. If you go to the fire and the flames and to your death, I go with you. That's the idea of the Christian life. Now, sadly, that's not often the practice, is it? It's not often the practice that the weak, the fatigued, the discouraged, the infirm gets circled around and girded up by the body. Because you have those that are in the congregation that are provokers. And you have people that are afraid of the provokers, so they do nothing. And the one lies and bleeds out. And we are not called to that, beloved. We are not called to envy one another. The envy is then the one who looks at another one and is envious of the gifts and the abilities and the strengths that they might have. And because we're looking at one another across the aisle in this way, we're not keeping a cadence, we're not even thinking and being cognizant of the fact that we are to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. And that if we walk in formation one with another, we're not tripping one another up, we're not provoking one another, but we realize we're a body that marches together. We are the army of Christ. And we love and we care in this way, and He moves right into this. Of bearing up one another. Notice what he says in verse 6. Brethren, notice this family language. It's not talking about an unbeliever. Adelphos, it's a believer. This is one who is trusting in Christ. This is one who lives in the Spirit. This is one who walks according to the Spirit. Brethren, if any man, any person, any believer humankind. It's not referring to the generic or the in general the gender of man. It's the believer. It's the believer who falls. He's overtaken in any trespass. Now, the overtaken, number one, a passive voice, it happens to him. It's not something he's deliberately looking for. It comes upon him unexpectedly. Now, it may be due to the fact that he's undiscerning. It may be due to the fact that he's not keeping cadence with the Spirit. Whatever the case, the man, the person, the individual is not deliberately looking to be overtaken, but it happens to him by a lack in his life. A lack of discernment, lack of discretion, whatever it may be. And so he's overtaken. Do you think it's a good Christian practice that when somebody falls into the ditch, that we stand 6 feet over them looking down saying, you know, you poor ignorant person. Why did you fall into that ditch? That's not what we're called to. We're not called to look down and be combative in that way. How does that nourish? How does that bring concord in the life of the congregation? How does that bring harmony? How does it bring song to the heart of one who has fallen? How does that bring encouragement to the one who has fallen? We all are called to be encouragers in the body of Christ. You know, in the physical body, when you have problems with physical muscles, you have two hands that tend to go to that muscle and massage it, bringing an ease to the pain of the body. When you have a problem with your little toe, do you ignore it? When you stub your toe in the middle of the night, you say, no big deal, it's just my big toe. All of a sudden, your life is about your big toe, isn't it? And you don't think of anything but your big toe at that moment. Until you get things back in accord. Until you strive to do that. You do it tenderly. So this man is overtaken in a trespass, a lapse, a moral failure. He stepped out of the way. The Apostle Paul says, this is the means by which the body cares for itself. You who are spiritual. The spiritual person ought to be everyone in the congregation who names the name of Christ. Sadly, it's not the case. But it ought to be. By this time, the writer of the Hebrews said, you ought to be teachers. But you need again to go back to the elementary principles of the things of Christ and be instructed all over again because you're a babe. You need to grow up. And beloved, again, it comes full circle. It's from not cultivating the Word in our lives, we don't grow to maturity. And when we don't grow to maturity, we're unable to help those who have fallen, though we may want to. We don't. We're unable. We don't have the ability, spiritually speaking. Like the person that comes to a funeral and gives the worldly nothings to them that are empty and vain and good intentions, but they're harmful helpers because it doesn't bring help or healing to the soul. You've got to bring the word of truth. You've got to comfort them with the word of truth. That is the only thing. By the patience and comfort of Scripture, we have hope. Christ communicates to us through the Word. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them hope, beloved. Give them Jesus. That's the hope. That's the encouragement. That is the zeal. That is what invigorates us to press on to the high calling in Christ. To rise up again from a fall. To stay obedient. To keep in cadence with the Spirit. So he says, you who are spiritual, so you who are mature, we ought to all be there. We ought to have the ability. The apostle in Romans 15, verse 14 says that I am assured, I'm confident of this, that you're able to admonish one another. Now, you know, I've said this numerous times, the English word is translated from the Greek neutetheo, which means to bring to mind. To bring to bear. You ought to be able to bring to bear the word of truth to one another. to encourage, to build up, to comfort, to strengthen with the Word of Truth. You ought to know the Word of God. You ought to know where to go in the Word of God to deal with particular situations in your life and the life of others. You ought to be able to do that. We are a counseling ministry. You realize that. Hope Reformed Church counsels. And we counsel with the Word. That's the only true counseling that there is. We counsel with the Word. It's the ministry of this church to counsel with the world. Not with the world, but with the Word. We counsel with the Word. Keep on counseling. Keep on growing. Beloved, get your eyes focused off of you and onto the Lord to know your calling. To know your place and responsibility and blessing and privilege in the body. Bear up. Keep on bearing up. You that are doing it, keep on doing it. To glory to God. You know, in the life of an encourager, the life of a counselor, let me admonish you with this. Don't go at encouraging people so that you get encouraged back. You go at encouraging people for the glory of Christ. Whether they encourage you or not, you go at it for that purpose, to bring glory to the Christ who has redeemed you and encourages you continually with His Word. You go at it with that mentality, with that attitude. Because if you don't, and you're looking to get as you give, you're going to be discouraged and you won't encourage. We are called to be servants. This is what Christ calls us to. We're called as reciprocal. It's to happen one to another. But oftentimes it doesn't. Don't grow weary, beloved, in well-doing. You're going to reap if you don't lose heart. Stick to it. Stay the course. Don't get thrown off balance. Satan is always trying to tip us over, getting us off balance, out of rhythm, out of a cadence, so that we're poking and prying and envying one another. Don't do it. Put it off. Put it away. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping in step with the Spirit, loving one another. He says, you who are spiritual, restore this man. Restore this person in the spirit of gentleness. To restore is used in medical terms to mend broken bones. To mend a broken bone. How would you handle a broken bone? Metaphorically, if you've got a Christian, a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, who has fallen, who has been overtaken by a trespass, and it is our duty and responsibility is to bring them back in line, in a cadence, with the Spirit. How are you going to do that? You're going to grab them by the back of the hair? You're going to yank them around? You're going to kick them while they're down? How are you going to do that? You're going to look from a distance and, whoa, boy, look at that arm. Wow, I'm glad that's not me. You've got to get involved, beloved. You've got to be involved. That takes intimate involvement, doesn't it? It takes hands-on. You've got to reset that bone. And you've got to do it in a gentle way. Just like a mother with her nursing infant. That kind of gentleness. That kind of compassion. That kind of care. She doesn't grab that baby and smash it over and take the diaper and rip it off. You don't see that. Not from a loving mother. Gentle. Long-suffering. Caring. Restoring one another. Coming gently and restoring. Yeah, just like the good Samaritan and the man overtaken among thieves. They didn't even ask him, you know, why are you in that condition? What's your problem? He didn't walk by and say, I'm glad I'm not in that condition. He was involved in this man's life. And we are called to do the same. And do it with a consideration to yourself, right? That's humility. As we look down the nose and say, well, I would never, and look at me, and I have never, boy, I could blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's phoniness. People say, I've never done, but you've thought it, beloved. You've thought it. And this I would never is a condemnation to others, isn't it? That I'm better. And Paul says, you who think you stand. You think you stand in your own strength. Take heed. Because you're about to fall. Our confidence, our strength, our standing is in the Lord. There is no standing apart from the Lord. Stand, therefore, in the power of His might. And when you've done all to stand, stand in the power of His might. In what He supplies, in what He strengthens, He causes us to stand up. Christ does. We need compassion. We need humility. I need it. You need it. We need it as the body of Christ. We need to bear one another's load. To bear somebody's load is to take off the weight. You remember Moses with his arms up. Aaron and Hur put rocks up to hold up his hand, bearing underneath, supplying, carrying, holding up one who has fallen, one who is weary. Bear one another's burdens. Present tense. Keep on bearing one another's burdens. There is no time in the Christian life where we are not to be active bearing one another's burdens. It's a continual event in the life of the church, because there's always somebody in the life of the congregation who needs bearing up. Beloved, how well are you doing in watching out for one another? It's not just the pastor. It's not just the elder. It is the pastor and elder, but not just the office bearers. This is the ministry of Hope Reformed Church. I have an aspect in this ministry. This is not my ministry. This is our ministry. We're all burden bearers. We're all counselors. We're all supporters. We're all encouragers. We're all lovers of one another. How well are you doing? You see, if we don't even start from the premise that this is what our calling is, we won't be about the business of glorifying Christ and doing it. So that's where we start. We start today in knowing our responsibility of bearing one another's burdens. Lifting up, coming alongside, helping. I'm going to tell you, when I went through the things that I went through some weeks back, some months back, I wouldn't have survived that. I'll just tell you straight out, I would not have survived that ordeal if there wouldn't have been those in the congregation that were bearing me up. I could not have done that. I could not have gotten through that on my own. You know, maybe 2 years ago, I never would have said that. I would not have admitted to weakness. I'm probably weaker than all of you in the congregation. And it's the Lord who bears up, and He bears up as we come alongside of one another. We need one another. We cannot do without one another. God has knit us together as the body of Christ. Beloved, be conscientious of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the more that, as I have said before, you go through the directory and you're looking at the people in the congregation and you're praying for them, you are becoming involved in their lives. Whether you even recognize it or not, you are becoming intimately involved with their lives. You pray for them, and when you see them, you can't not but smile at them. You can't not but think, you know what, I have affection for that person. It's like I'm involved in this individual's life, and I've got to talk to them. I've got to ask them, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? How can I pray for you? The church has to grow in this. It's not just coming on the Lord's Day and dispersing. It's walking together, holding hands. You know what? We're not a tree that's planted in a private garden. We're like a tree planted in a public park. That's us as the people of God. Strive and pray that the Lord revives His church. To have concern. To be self-sacrificial for other members of the body of Christ. To be more concerned with others and esteeming others better than myself, so that there is not one individual in this congregation that I would not stoop down and tie their shoes. That's the attitude that the servant is called to have in the body of Christ. Sadly, we don't often have that attitude. Lord, change our attitude. Convict our heart. Encourage us in the work. strengthen us up that we might be those who bear up other people for the glory of God. Love one another, beloved. Don't provoke. Don't be envious. Love, care, bear up one another's burdens. And this fulfills the law of Christ. The law of Christ, I command you to love one another. Amen. Shall we pray?